Hello and welcome to the Miss Rolling In podcast. As usual, my name is Jacob Staton, and as usual, I'm joined by JJ Armstrong. JJ, how the devil are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you, Jacob. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel of this international break, which is utterly dull. I hate them. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, mate. Thank you. I couldn't agree more about the international break. Other than that, I am top of the shop. I did watch a bit of the England-Brazil game. I don't think we're as bad as people are making out, but, you know, it's just I personally don't really understand international friendlies. I don't see the point. I don't see what people are learning. I like the idea of that Euro. What was it? Europa? What's it called?
The Nations League.
Nations League. I like the idea of that. It's just they did the best to bodge it up and make it another thing, didn't they? This is an international break for two friendlies. Just a waste of everyone's time, isn't it?
Boring.
Just a waste of everyone's time. It's boring. We're not actually playing. We're not playing our strongest team. We're not mixing it up. People get injured. What is the point? Anyway, on to more exciting things. Yesterday? Last night, Nottingham Forest announced in a very brief statement that we will be appealing the four-point deduction, but they will not be making any further comments at this time, JJ. I'm going to ask for your opinion on whether you think it was the right thing to do and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think... Just on the statement, the clubs, it's what a paragraph, isn't it? If that is just saying that we are doing it, no further comment. And obviously it came at the end. We couldn't appeal any later than yesterday. We only had a week to appeal, didn't we? I think the club have deliberated this long and hard. I think if they were just being flippant, they'd have done it straight away. I think they've actually looked internally and thought about it. But JJ, what's your things? Do you think it is the right thing to do? Do you think we'll get anything back? Do you think anything bad could happen from it?
I think this is where we will sit on very different sides of the fence on this one, because you are often glass half full and I'm often glass half empty. And as somebody that lives his life riddled with anxiety and depression, if there's a negative or potential bad thing to happen to be found, I will find it. And this is just why I think I can't really answer your question on whether it's the right thing to do until I've got hindsight, because the version of me right now that sits here is worried that we appeal and we get more points added on. Now, I've seen Sky Sports say it is unlikely. Forest have had unlikely things happen to them in the past. I bring to you the 5-goal swing on the last day to avoid being in the playoffs. You know, these things that are unlikely certainly can happen. And the reason why I am so nervous about this is because I get the impression that the Premier League are just making it up as they go along. So I feel like there's no historic thing to point to say that we will be successful in getting any points back, not having any more added on. And the reason I'm concerned is because we had two deducted from the original punishment of 6 due to the mitigation and the cooperation. Since then, we've released a statement that essentially, if you want to translate it to what it really means, is fuck the Premier League. And secondly, we've appealed. I think 4 points is harsh still. I can see the benefit in appealing. If there is something in place that says you can't get any more points, but I feel like we haven't definitively got the answer that says you're not going to get any more points. I think it's very theoretical, highly unlikely, up in the air. And if there's any risk of that for me, then that's why I'm concerned, because, like I say, Premier League are sort of making this up as they go along. And personally, I thought this was a good opportunity to just take stock of where we're at the minute, look at the battle in front of us, understand that it's only a point, and use that to sort of gather momentum, know the fight, and if we can't get one more point than Luton, then we don't deserve to stay up anyway. So I thought it was a good chance to sort of reset, reignite the fan base. That dark cloud looming above us of the points deduction had gone, because we knew where we stood and we knew the battle that we had ahead. But now there's almost an extra element of uncertainty, because you know, not that it should, but do the players not try as hard now because they think, oh, we'll get some points back? Do we get points added on due to not being cooperating and all that stuff? Am I just being completely worried and anxious about nothing, given that we have a right to appeal? So how is that not as cooperating? There's so many sides to this that I think whatever side you sit on as a Forest fan, whether it be we should appeal, what have we got to lose, or I'm a bit cautious, maybe we shouldn't test the waters. I think you're completely right in whichever stance you take on it, because it's uncharted territory and we just don't know. But Jacob, I feel like you're much more risk averse or happy to say, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I understand the worry about more points. I think the fact we've already had a mitigation, it would be very callous of the Premier League for us to appeal and then for them to review the mitigation and say they're no longer mitigating factors. I don't think anyone is appeal. I think a lot of people are getting appealing red cards lost in translation with this, which is obviously very clear because this has never happened before, and appealing red cards happens all the time. But even then, you only get an additional ban for a red card if it's like a I think the word's egregious. I think if you're being very flippant with the appeal type thing, you know you're gonna get it, and you're basically being a bit of a nobbins, I think is the best way of putting it, which I don't think we are. My personal opinion is I would have been disappointed if we didn't appeal the way that we've come out fighting, the way Mr. M has put his thoughts across. I think, to be honest, I'm surprised we waited a week to appeal. That was the only surprise for me. Maybe, as I alluded to earlier, I think maybe the fact we've taken the week means that we've done the right thing and put some due diligence into whether or not we could be successful. You're right, though. I mean, if we can't get a point more than Luton between now and the end of the season, we don't deserve to stay up. However, if Luton stay up by only 3 points, we've gone down for a financial foul, haven't we? I suppose.
But
the rules are the rules.
That's what I come back to. We break the rules, got a punishment. We got points taken off it. I think they started at 8 and we landed at 4. Like, I think the whole issue lies with the fact that the rules aren't fit for purpose still. It's something that you always come back to, because I don't really think we should have been in danger of breaching anyway, because we should have been given extra allowance given the squad cost and squad depth we had when we came up. But that's a different issue. I think this is a mess of the Premier League's making. You know, I think appealing only makes them look worse, because the fact that we could end this season and not understand who's officially gone down based on appeals and points deductions and relegation being decided in a boardroom and a court and things like that, you know, it gets really messy here. I think this is a problem that the Premier League really needs to fix, because it's not a nice circumstance for any club to be in, uncertain whether they're going to get a point back and that means they can stay in the Premiership or go down. It is a difficult situation, but I just hope that the fact that they've deliberated, you use the words there, due diligence, it's not something this club has always done in recent years.
Not this year.
I just hope that they have done that and think, you know, there's a real good case for getting these points back. I see reports saying that they're confident of getting at least 1 point back, which, you know, that could be huge at the end of the season, but
it could be huge.
I hope they're right.
Well, it could be the point that we got lost against Liverpool, couldn't it? I'm confident we'll get something. I mean, you know, it's the, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get, do you? I suppose I don't think there's any real risk of getting any added on. So, and like I say, I would have been disappointed if we didn't appeal because of the way we came out fighting and wanting it. It's a sticky situation, isn't it? But I'm glad we seem to have some clarity at the club about it, which is a nice change, I think, JJ.
Yeah, I just hope we learn our lesson from it, because, you know, we're in our second season now. Last season, you would have thought was our learning curve, and think this season We have a much better go at it. You know, we're not going to go as crazy. There won't be as big an overhaul. We're going to make sure our spend is right to not go outside the limits. But I feel like we haven't learned much. I think we're still in a very similar situation. And, you know, next year, if we do survive, I think let's just see this as a warning and ensure that we are within financial fair play boundaries or profit and sustainability, whatever it's called. Which I guess, you know, we've seen reports recently, Jacob, that Murillo and Gibbs-White are on the radar of a few big clubs. Do we have to look to make the sale for one of them? I think they're the only two main assets that can pull a decent amount of money. Naturally, I guess your answer would be to lose none of them. But if you had to lose one to sort of help us learn a lesson and survive and be able to build a squad and reinvest next season, is there one out of those two that you've seen linked that you'd rather lose if you had to?
I mean, obviously the answer is I don't want to lose either of them. I think if I'm being honest though, and I'm trying to think about this as honestly as I can and think about where we are as a club and what these players are doing and have done and so on. I think I'd probably be happy to if we're going to get, let's say we get 50 million for Morgan Gibbs-White and we get what I think is a very fair price of 80 million for Murillo. And that's a very fair price considering how good I think he'll be. I'd sell them both.
Wow, okay.
Those two players are better than our club right now. We are not allowed to spend the money to buy players and to make the team better around them for them to flourish and for us to flourish. So it's we can't spend money to make money. Well, we've already done it and we've already spent the money on them. Let's make the money off them and let's invest it elsewhere, you know. I think my answer is both. I don't think that was an answer you were expecting, JJ, but if we could get over 100 million for both of them combined, we are a selling club. There's no ifs, no buts, no two ways around it, is there? You know, let's not keep them against their will. Let's not get any bad taste from them and from the players, from the fans towards them. Let's just cash in and move on and try and invest it as soundly as humanly possible. And no FFP issues. Everybody wins, don't they?
Investing as soundly as possible and Nottingham Forest don't go well together.
We invested in them too soundly, didn't we?
Okay. Game, set, match, Jacob. fair play. for every Murillo and Gibbs-White, there is a stinker. I mean, I wasn't expecting that answer. I think I would be gutted to lose either of them, never mind both. I think that is brutal.
I would be happy, but it's just thinking realistically.
Yeah. The club have, I believe I've read something that said the club wouldn't accept less than 50 million for either. I think 50 million for Gibbs-White, probably about right for where he is at the minute. But I think Murillo for 50 million, I think he's got a much higher ceiling. He's younger. You know, he's clearly got the talent. He's clearly going to play for a much, much bigger club. I'm talking Madrid, Barcelona, City. You can just sort of tell sometimes. And he feels like that special type of player. Personally, if I had to lose one, it would be Murillo, because I do think he can command a higher fee. I think it's easier to replace a centre-back than it is to replace a sort of 10 that is quite prominent in the way we play. I don't think Gibbs-White is better than us at the minute. I think he's exactly where he should be. I think there's still quite a few flaws to his game that he needs to work out. And I think, what's that?
He's better than us in there. That's the point I was alluding to. I think he could be better than us, but I think in his head, he already is. And it's not going to end well in any capacity, is it? If somebody like Newcastle comes in, or I don't know who's linked with him, comes in with a £50 million bid, if we don't accept that, it's not going to end well in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there are still elements of his game that he needs to develop. Yep. There's a really special player in there, and I really hope that we can see him develop them with us for at least one more season. Yep. He feels like he could be a potential future captain for us. he seems like he's got a lot of passion for the club and respects the fan base's support. I think there is still work to do, but like I say, if only interest comes in for him and there's 50 million, we unfortunately, the position we're in, we are a selling club. That's the way of the world. That's the way the Premier League works, which is unfortunate. You know, it sucks, but if it means we can keep going as a club and reinvest that money wisely, then, you know, I think we'll be in a good position. But in terms of profit and sustainability, you know, we've got the Mangala fee coming in. I think it was 10 million loan fee with 15 extra million on.
I think he commands option,
yeah. But if they do take that, I think we'd get around 30 million for him or 25, something like that. With him commanding that fee, we've sold Scarpa for 5 million, I believe. Mm. You know, can we generate enough income with all the deadwood we've got? You know, your Lewis O'Briens. Who else have we got out on loan? We've got 1 million. Dennis, for example, Omar Richards. I think the fees will be minimal, but if you sell enough of the deadwood and get rid of them, does it allow us, you know, to breathe a little bit? I guess you're not got as much money to reinvest in the club. So, yeah, I'd hate to lose either of them, but they look to me like the two most prominent that we'd command a fee for.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? Ideally, you keep both, you sign players, you kick on. I'm looking at the squad, you know, we've got Nuno Tavares will be going back. Felipe's retiring. I'd probably cut and run a Moussa Niakate if somebody came in because of all his injury problems. Chieko Kouate is probably not going to get a new contract, is he? Nico Dominguez, great player. Giorena is going to leave on loan. Tyro Wunyi, I'm getting, you know, because he's injured again, I'm getting towards cutting and running on him, if I'm being honest. If somebody came in with more what we paid for him.
See, that really that upsets me, that thought as well. But it is getting to the point where if he can't stay fit, he cannot lead us forward as our main number nine. He's either a backup striker because of his injury problems, which I think he's too good for, or we just have to cut our losses and get rid of him, which I think would be a massive shame. I think he is a very special player. He just needs to stay fit.
Yep.
But I guess the club have a decision to make if someone does come in for him, given his track record of injuries. We need players that can get on that pitch. It would be an interesting one if someone does come in for Taiwo.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. It will. It will. The next game, though, JJ, is against Crystal Palace.
Absolutely. I'm just going to take a quick break to plug our sponsor, which is me. Something different. I've started a new venture, which is called Heavy Metal Football. Our first shirts went live the other week, up for pre-order. The pre-orders have now ended, but there's 10 shirts remaining on site. We've been sent to the printer, so if you want to check the shirts out, these are Forest shirts, alternative Forest shirts. Check it out, heavymetalfootball.co.uk. There'll be a print added, plenty more Forest stuff incoming, some England shirts for the Euros, plenty to come. But what I'd appreciate more is if you can help follow me on social media as I'm starting afresh, and it would really help me. So you can find me on Instagram at heavy.metalfootball or on X or Twitter at HVYMTLfootball. I would really appreciate the following. You don't have to buy a shirt, although it would be appreciated. And the important thing to say is that these first shirts, all profits will be going to a great cause and Stand Against MND, which is a Forest supporter called Sam. It's a great charity. Check that out. But yeah, just appreciate a follow. Appreciate you checking the website out. And there might be something for you upcoming because there's plenty more stuff to come. Thank you for being patient, Jacob, as I shamelessly plug myself. Yeah, the next game, we've got Palace. I'm just going to flash it up on screen now. So this is the last five games of the two clubs. So for those listening, we'll talk through it. I'll go through Forest. Jacobs can go through Palace's, but last five games for Forest. Draw against Luton, a loss against Brighton, a loss against Liverpool, a loss against Villa, and then a win against West Ham. So a draw, three losses, and a win in our last five games. Compared to Palace's form, Jacob?
They lost to Chelsea. They drew with Everton. They beat Burnley. They lost to Spurs. And they drew with Luton in our last game as well as we did. Because they didn't have a game, did they? Because they were either in the FA Cup or whoever they were meant to play was in the FA Cup.
Which we could identify that weekend as a fantasy football nightmare.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the game? Obviously, I guess on the surface of things, their last five looks a bit better. But, you know, when they're winning against teams like Burnley and drawing against teams like Luton, I guess it's to be expected, really. I just want to double check that that's right. Yeah. Beat Burnley, drew against Everton, drew against Luton. So sort of results with the teams around them. We've had a much, much more difficult run, I'd say, in the last five. Very important game, given the circumstances. Do you think this is a Forest that's going to come out fighting, stick it to them, be recharged and take a win? Or do you think we're going to suffer through the same old frailties that we've had?
It's been well documented that I am glass half full. I think this was an extremely winnable game. I think that Palace, without Elise and Eze, are championship fodder. I think with them, they aren't that much better. I'd like to think that it will be a similar game to the West Ham game. It'll be an easy. Well, I think the West Ham game was easy. Other people might disagree. I think it'll be an easy win and a very, very much needed 3 points, JJ.
Yeah, just checking for injuries now. Looks like Eze came back in the Spurs and Luton game. So looks like he's back, unfortunately. They've got Guehi, however you say his name. He's out injured. Yeah, Elise is still injured. So, yeah, we have to target this game, really. I think this is a huge game. Given the circumstances, given the points deduction, if directly after a points deduction, we don't feel recharged and as a fan base, lift the team through it at a home game against a team around us that is definitely winnable, when are we ever going to find 3 points in the remaining games? So
I think
we've got a bank of games coming up that are really, really important, winnable. I think the home atmosphere, or the atmosphere in general, has felt lacking. I think this points deduction has lifted the fan base because, you know, like I say, the dark cloud's gone. We know what we need to battle for, or we did before we appealed anyway. So I think the atmosphere is going to be huge. It sounds like Forza are going to do a display that's only going to lift people up. I think the momentum that the crowd are going to give is going to make it a really huge atmosphere. I think that's going to carry the team through, and I just think we can play on that a bit like Everton did when they found out their points deduction. They had a good run of results after because they were sort of revitalized. It was almost like a us against the world sort of thing, and they capitalized on that with their performances and picked up some big wins. So I pray that we do the same, because like I say, if we don't do that for this game, when are we going to? I think there's some winnable games coming up, and I certainly identify this as one of them. And you know, Palace have a new manager. I think the results they're expected to get, I guess, they will be looking at this, I imagine, thinking, oh, this is a rough time to play them when they're going to be revitalized. So it should be an interesting game. What we'll do is we'll go through our starting 11s, see who we both think will be played. Jacob, I'll let you go first. Interested to hear who you think will be played. Obviously, there's been quite a mix and match in recent weeks. I'll let Jacob go first. Jacob?
Yeah, so I've gone for 4-2-3-1, which Nuno has favoured since being Forest manager. So it's obviously Celts in goal, back four of Williams, Omar Bamadeli, Murillo, Toffolo. Two midfield of Yates and Sangare, with Alanga, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi behind Chris Wood. Celts is the only choice in goal, in my opinion. Neco Williams is a must play at the minute. Billet Bolly got injured for Ivory Coast, I believe. That's why I've gone for Omar Bamadeli, which is a great deputy, in my opinion. Toffler at left back, because I'm not sure Olaina's back yet. Possibly a bit too of a bigger game to just drop him straight in there as well. I like Yates and Sangare. I think that's going to be a crucial partnership towards the end of the season. Elanga, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi picks itself. and Wood because Awoniyi's not fit.
Yeah, interesting. I think I'll show you mine. I've gone very, very similar. So I've gone Sells in goal with Williams, Bolly, Murillo and Aina at the back. Yates and Dominguez as the two. And Alanga, Gibbs White, Hudson-Odoi behind Chris Wood. So I think mine's more hopeful than anything, given it's the inclusion of Bolly and Aina. I think Bolly was really good against Luton. You know, he gives that aerial presence. I feel like the injury he's picked up is just a knock. So hopefully that means he's allowed to play. I think we'll be cursed if we lose another centre-back or have to try yet another centre-back pairing or revert back. It feels like it chops and changes every week. However, you know, if he is injured and he can't play, Amabamadeli, get in that squad, my son. More than capable enough as a deputy, as you say. Aina, I read earlier in the injury roundup that he is available again after the international break, has been training with the group. So hard to really know if he's capable of playing or if he can. But I think if he's fit, start him. I think his link-up play, his attacking dominance is important. And I think even if he gets 60 minutes and you have to make the change to Toffolo, then I think he's worth including because you can almost take it to the early doors, hopefully build up a nice, comfy lead and then defend it. But that is very wishful thinking. Again, as with Amabamadeli, if Aina isn't fit, Toffler is more than, you know, adept at being a deputy in that position. I just would prefer to see Aina come back and sort of attack. I've gone, the only difference from yours from that is I've gone for Dominguez over Sangare. I don't think Yates and Sangare works. Sangare, I think we're still waiting to come good. I think Luton, he wasn't as bad as people thought, but he looks too slow and he looks like he's still developing or getting comfortable with the league. And I don't think we can afford that at the minute. These are vital games. You know, we can't afford to be a testing environment for a player that needs to be embedded. So that's why I think it's important. We know Yates and Dominguez can work together. I do think Yates is essential for the remaining 9 games. He understands the fight ahead and is willing to fight for the shirt. I'm not accusing him. I'm not doing that. I just don't get that same vibe from Sangare. So I think Yates and Dominguez makes all the sense to me. I just don't think Yates and Sangare works at the minute. I think it's one or the other.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think you're being very optimistic about Bolly and Aina, but I have no disagreements if they are fit. Dominguez, for me, in my head, it's Yates or Dominguez and Sangare or Danilo. I don't think you need both Yates and Dominguez for this game. That's why I went for Sangare. I don't think Danilo's been at his best recently either. I'm still hoping there's more to come from Sangare because, like I said, that very first match I watched him at the PSV versus Rangers game, It was like watching the second coming of Patrick Vieira. So I just hope there's more to come because
there is. There definitely is. He doesn't pick his price tag. I think that sort of weighs quite heavily on him in the eyes of Forest fans. I think there's a lot more to come. I think it's been a disrupted season. Yep. You know, a lot of change, a lot of new players in. He's come to a new league where the pace is much, much quicker than where he's come from. A change in manager, AFCON, an injury from AFCON. You know, there's a lot of disruption. And someone that gets paid that much and has that price tag, you know, like I say, he's at the beck and call of that because you expect more of him. But I think it is quite a normal thing for a player to have to try and adapt. And he's not had a regular run of games where he's been able to do that. So you don't just become a rubbish player overnight. No. I've seen him play for PSV and he's absolutely brilliant. There's a reason we were excited when he was signed. It's just really unfortunate that we've not seen it yet. But because we've not seen it yet, that's why I just think we can't afford to take a chance at this point. This isn't the time to test. This isn't a time to embed. This is a time to play tested players. And it's interesting that you say it's Yates and Sangare, that sort of partnership. I think it's either one of Yates and Sangare with either Dominguez or Danilo myself.
Okay.
So it's interesting that we've got opposite views in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, JJ, with... had our talk on Palace, we've had our talk on our teams. What do you think the score will be?
I'd like to see a convincing 2-0 win this time. I think it needs to be 3 points. So convincing 2-0 win.
The score, I think I said on the last podcast, actually, the score, I think, will be 2-0. I think it'll be similar to the West Ham game. I would like to go on record and say I will take any win of any capacity, whether it's half a goal to nil. I will take it.
Yeah. Just get over the line, get 3 points. That's all we're begging for, really, at this point. Yeah. First, you know, it can kickstart a revolution, so to speak. The first one of 9 finals, you know, 2 of which I think we've already lost on paper ahead of the game, as one of them's against City, one of them's against Spurs. But football is a funny game. Anything can happen. So
yeah,
let's just, as a fan base, hopefully spark ourselves back into life and carry the people over that we desperately want to get the result.
Speaking of sparking things into life, JJ, very briefly, we're going to have something a little bit special coming on Friday, aren't we?
We are. We've put together a little cheeky video for you, a bit of a battle cry to hopefully hype you up ahead of Saturday, get you in the fighting spirit of rebellion and revolution, so to speak. So keep an eye out on our social media and our YouTube on Friday. Probably release it around lunchtime. It's only short, but the hope is that it helps ignite you and get you up for it and sling it up him, so to speak, proverbially.
Oh, goodness me. Jolly good. Jolly sling it up. Well, that's it for this week's episode, isn't it, JJ? If you're listening for the first time, thank you for finding us. We really appreciate it. And if you've come back again and 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 again, God knows we love you.